Follow me everywhere at Ike Feldman or at Ike the Gon everywhere, as you can see below. Get involved in the show, 646-820-9848. A very, very thick onion to peel on this Monday, December 5th, 2022. A UFC betting scandal that is getting crazier and crazier every single day. Tyson Fury returned to the ring. Being Tyson Fury, can't wait for you guys to hear the sound bites. Get to unravel and look at the boxing heavyweight division. Also, a McGregor-Artem update again. And a Paddy versus Jake Paul update again. And, of course, the UFC Orlando recap, which was an absolute crazy main card. Usually, I like to start this at 4:30 Eastern time, 1:30 Pacific, but I'm about 30 minutes late. But there's nothing wrong. I kind of like the whole sounding live at 5 aspect of it, so I might make live at 5 a thing, or live at 2 if you're on the West Coast, or live at 10 at night if you're in the UK,
or live at 2 in the morning if you are in Asia.
But wherever you are, we are live. Thank you guys for joining again. I am Ike Feldman at Ike the Gon everything. Get involved for the topics that I just mentioned, or if there's something that sparks your interest. Also going to be doing the mixed martial arts or combat sports movie or content of the week. This week I'm watching Cinderella Man. I'm going to give you guys my review on a future episode this week, so stay tuned for that. Throw your suggestions. I have not seen Vision Quest. I've seen Kingdom on Netflix. I've seen The Fighter. I haven't seen The Raid. I haven't seen any of the Unbok stuff. I've seen one Ip Man. So if you guys have a martial arts thing, I'm halfway through the one with Jet Li. If you guys have a martial arts or combat sports content that you would like for me to tune in and review, send it my way. Again, at Ike the Gon or call on the show, 820-9848. Let's get it started. UFC betting. Hold on, let me raise this chair. I was almost covered up by my own banner. The UFC betting scandal is getting crazier. So going back to UFC Vegas 64, Derek Minor, who trains under James Krause and Glory MMA down in Kansas City, I believe that is. Derek Minor had a leg injury going into the fight. All of a sudden, a few hours before the fight, a ton of cash went on his opponent. So, okay, you get this? Derek Minor has an injury. He knows he has an injury. He knows if his opponent throws any leg kicks, he's going to be extremely weak. And there's a high percentage chance that he's going to lose. So, in his mind, he made it a high percentage bet by betting against himself. UFC fighters could bet against themselves, but now they can't because this is very suspicious. There's also a caveat that nobody's pointing out. I've looked on MMA Fighting, the New York Post, all over Instagram. Nobody's pointing out that the UFC does not provide insurance outside of the cage, meaning if you get hurt outside of fight night, you will not be provided insurance. So it is kind of wise for a fighter, if he has a partial tear, if he has a dislocated shoulder, TJ Dillashaw, UFC 280 against Aljo, but it didn't matter. Aljo was running through TJ Dillashaw no matter what. Excuse me. If you have an injury, it's not a bad idea to go into the fight anyway and to cover it up and then get it paid for it later on. Fair. Makes sense. But in this case, with betting, dirty business. And I agree with the UFC's decision to cut and release. That's redundant. But to cut Derek Minor from the UFC because they don't like the handling of this situation where a fighter had a disclosed injury and bet against himself. I'm sure he made money. At least he's the betting line swung 200 points in favor of Derek Minor's opponent, Sheyalan Nurdinbeki. Household name. And it went from 220, I believe I saw. Where did I see this? Yeah, it was from 220, and then it went up to -420. So if Derek Minor bet $100 on himself at -220, he would take home 320. With the 420 odds, he would take home about 80% more at a 520 clip. So those are huge odds and a much favorable betting line if you know how the fight's going to end. So Hunter Campbell, the UFC's head honcho, the guy who sits down, he's the lawyer, he is the brain trust of the contract talk and most of the decisions that goes on in the UFC. Dana White is the president, he's the puppet, the guy who shakes hands, kisses baby, curses out reporters. That is Dana White's job. Great handling the public sphere of the UFC and the UFC's public appearance. And he, Dana White, is an extremely personable guy and a street guy. He can handle a lot on his feet. So Hunter Campbell, not so much. Kind of looks like Harry Potter, kind of dresses like Harry Potter. Might shake hand like a fish. Might have a weak handshake. I don't believe so, because the UFC is trusting this guy to make major decisions. But Hunter Campbell released this statement. He was saying November 18th, in Nevada State Athletic Commission informed UFC and Minor's head coach, James Krause. Krause's license was suspended. The UFC has advised Krause and respective managers who work with Krause that affected Middle East fighters who choose to continue to be coached by Krause or who continue to train in his gym will not be permitted to participate in UFC events pending the outcome of the aforementioned government investigations. Again, James Krause is being investigated by athletic commissions. Further, UFC has released Derek Minor from the organization. The UFC believes there is no more important component of professional mixed martial arts than the integrity of the sport. Of course, it is martial arts. I hope there's never a fixing done on the UFC side, because you'd be eating these words. But yeah, things are getting kind of crazy with this scandal. It's incredible. Do you guys think that Derek Minor should be cut? James Krause should be suspended from the UFC? Should any fighter that associates with James Krause and Glory MMA, should they not be allowed to compete in the UFC? I say yes at this time. I say yes. James Krause has crossed the line. If he was pending the investigation, if he was informed of this injury, which, I mean, he's a head coach, I'm sure he knows exactly what his fighter's eating. I'm sure he knows exactly what Derek Minor's farts smell like, 100%. I understand Derek Minor being cut. So what? He's got to go to a different organization to build himself back up. So what? If we saw anything about a fighter building himself up, look no further than this past Saturday, where Jared the Monkey God Brooks was released from the UFC, a former UFC flyweight fighter, now a one championship flyweight champion. He took the long, hard road, and he built himself up, and now he's an international champion, and nobody's working harder than this guy at flyweight. You love to see him get another crack at the UFC. He's beaten and dominated everybody at one and has looked phenomenal in doing so. And one is not to be disrespected. They also have Mighty Mouse, who is a legend in the UFC. You also saw Jared Brooks, what he did to Deiveson Figueiredo in Brazil many years ago before he was cut. So this is not the end for Derek Minor, but it is the end for Derek Minor in the UFC right now. I hope he made enough money in that bet to satisfy, to cross the T's and dot the I's for what life lies ahead for him. It's going to be unlikely that the UFC covers this leg injury that he really, really, how would I say, really cut deep in this past weekend. Yeah, he went into the fight with injury, but getting kicked five times in a couple weeks ago, getting kicked five times, I'm sure it did a lot more damage, and you would hope the UFC could maybe cover the injury cost and the hospital bills, but that seems highly unlikely. What is extremely likely is James Krause is going to have to also take the long, hard road back to the UFC into their good graces. He seemed like he was a company guy, and the fact that he was fighting on short notice, he was traveling ridiculous amounts of times to support his fighters, to be on site in the UFC Apex or fights around the country or the world. James Krause is a worker, no doubt. I believe he's starting a podcast. I don't know if that was some type of joke that somebody put together online, but James Krause is a guy that is always moving forward. So I have no doubt that James Krause will land on his feet. And because of this scandal, the UFC, they will no longer, they have no longer for about 2 weeks now for fighters to bet on themselves. So I hope everybody can understand this is bigger than any individual fight. This is the integrity of the sport, as Hunter Campbell laid out in his email. So you hope Derek James can bounce back, spin it forward in a positive way. We got some action, though, in the ring this past weekend. Tyson freaking Fury looked phenomenal. Put it on Derek Chisora for a third time. Fought him in 2011. Fought him a second time in 2014. Tyson Fury looked crisp, looked clean. Beautiful 1-2s down the middle. Beautiful rangy work. The way he used his post and his lead pawn hand to line up Derek over and over and over led to a 10th round stoppage. So Tyson Fury looked phenomenal. The fight that everybody's waiting for is still intact. But first, Tyson Fury paid respects to Derek Chisora in only a Tyson Fury way.
Oh, Derek Chisora! Oh, Derek Chisora! Oh, Derek Chisora! Oh, Derek Chisora!
Oh, Derek Chisora! Yes. Tyson Fury is the man. He paid respect to Derek Chisora. Tyson Fury's been on a tear, has not lost in his career, still is undefeated, has that one draw in 2018 against Deontay Wilder, but in between the Wilder fights, Otto Wallen, Tom Schwartz, Dillian White, now Derek Chisora, you can imagine that a huge, epic career new level setting fight is on the horizon for Tyson Fury, and I'm talking about a Anthony Joshua or an Oleksandr Usyk.
Where's Oleksandr Usyk, the rabbit? Hey, rabbit! Usyk, you're next, little bitch. You're next. You are next. Me and you, sucker, next.
Little bitch.
Me and you. You're getting it, little sucker! Rabbit! Pussy! Look at it! 15 stone little midget beat a bodybuilder. Well, I ain't a bodybuilder, sucker. I'm gonna write you off. I already done one Ukrainian Klitschko dinner, and I'll do you as well, gappy teeth. You ugly little man! You ugly little man!
Two things. The bodybuilder that Tyson Fury is referencing that Usyk beat, if you're not familiar with boxing and the heavyweight division, you should be. Boxing is at a phenomenal time. The lightweight division, the 135ers, and the heavyweights are just on fire. It's a phenomenal time to be a boxing fan. The bodybuilder reference that Tyson Fury makes is about the Anthony Joshua that Oleksandr Usyk beat twice. And the second thing about this call-out, it's not like Oleksandr Usyk is on the fifth row, the first row, or tenth row, away from Tyson Fury. As he's doing this call-out, he's about 30 inches away from the eyeballs, eyes to eyes, with Tyson Fury. Doesn't say a word, has a very stone-cold smirk on his face. Seems like he's looking into the soul of Tyson Fury. Seems like he zoned out everything. If you guys remember a couple of press conferences ago, Oleksandr Usyk wore the Joker suit. This guy is not joking. He is a no-joke, absolute serial killer that is not afraid of anybody. And yeah, Tyson Fury is a mountain of a man. 6'9", about 270 pounds. Oleksandr Usyk is much smaller, though not a small man in reality, but for the heavyweight division, about 6'2", about 220, 225 pounds. He had about a 25-pound disadvantage against Anthony Joshua, but it did not matter. He's got excellent movement, excellent lateral movement, crisp, clean southpaw boxing, no wasted motion, a ton of output, a ton of volume. This would be kind of a David versus Goliath fight with Fury and Usyk. It's the fight that everybody wants to see. I would say late spring, maybe May, maybe June at the latest. I can't see it going any later. If it is, contracts fell out, and then we're going to get Fury Chisora 4, and we're going to hear more of this.
Oh, Derek Chisora!
It's going to be like Ozzy Osbourne. Derek Chisora.
Tyson Fury might start relapsing and drinking at that point if he's got to fight Chisora for a fourth time. Hopefully not. Hopefully he gets the Ukrainian Oleksandr Usyk. That would be an amazing fight. The boxing heavyweight division, Fury, Usyk, Wilder, Joshua, Andy Ruiz, Dillian White, Joe Joyce. Boxing heavyweight division is awesome. The fight outside of Usyk Fury that everybody's looking at is Wilder versus Joshua. I have no idea if it's going to take place in the UK or in Barclays Center, where Wilder tends to fight a lot, but that's the fight that makes a ton of sense. You got very rival ring we'll switch it up. Styles that rival in Wilder's huge right hand of Odin versus Anthony Joshua's more fundamental but not as ferocious style. It would be an epic fight that I think a lot of people would sign up for. Andy Ruiz is sitting there. Could you see Andy Ruiz versus Deontay Wilder or Andy Ruiz versus Joshua 3? That could be interesting too. The winner faces the winner of Usyk Fury, but as boxing knows, there is always a rematch clause, so that might be a year away for Ruiz to get in the mix. But boxing heavyweight division is awesome. I had a banner for this. My mistake. That was there. I could have put that there so you guys could have understood what I'm talking about. But if you aren't paying attention, boxing heavyweights division is on fire. Boxing's lightweight division is on fire. You got Lomachenko, Teofimo Lopez, who's fighting very soon. George Kambosos, Devin Haney, King Ryan Garcia, King Javonte Davis. I know he goes by Tank, but you know he is a king in his own right. There is a lot brewing in boxing. It is a great time to be a fan, and I'm very much enjoying my time getting involved in the boxing world. I had my second boxing fight this past weekend. Again, thank you to Kid Marvelous for being a marvelous teammate and coach, training partner, friend, brother-in-arms. I really appreciate you helping your boy out. and being very supportive, technically, emotionally, spiritually, just being that that big brother in a sense. Though I'm older than him in his own right, he's kind of teaching me the game that I'm loving to learn, which is boxing. And it was a fun weekend. I did not get the win, but I did learn another lesson, which is called, I don't know if you guys have ever heard this thing, it's called defense. And you should use it if you are boxing. It took me to the third round where I actually threw up my hand and I go, oh, he's landing on my hand instead of my face. I should probably use defense and my hand a lot more. So thank you, Justin Kid Marvelous, for the support. Thank you to my opponent, Lou Ortiz, for making me have to get better, making me have to earn it. I thought I could just walk in there, sprinkle some fairy magic dust, and I could get the win. But I'm going to have to go back to the gym this week and keep grinding in hopes of maybe we meet down the road in a rematch. Three times might be too much, but a second time, if I could see somebody for a second time in my amateur career, that'd be pretty fun to see who made the adjustments, who didn't make the adjustments, and where you are at the different points in your lives. So great experience as always, and always a fun time. Now, back to our regular scheduled dungeon talk with Conor McGregor and Artem Lobov. Holy moly. Where we let off was Conor McGregor and Artem Lobov. McGregor was challenging Lobov to a fight, and we actually have the audio recording of that. Here we go. McGregor calling out Artem Lobov in his own words.
This is a call out to Artem the Fanny, Fairy Pad, Lobov. I'm challenging you to a fight tonight, 10:30 p.m. I'll meet you down at SBG Concord, and we'll fight for the whole lot. We'll fight for the whole lot. Going through having lawyers message me about defamation and all this soon and all. You're a little blouse, mate. I'll see you at SBG Concord tonight, 10:30 p.m., and I'll fight you for the whole lot, yeah? Answer this f***ing call out, yeah? You little blouse. Artem is a waffler, na 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 na, hey, na 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 na, hey. Artem is a waffler, na 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 na, hey, na 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 na.
Oh, Derek Chisora! Oh, Derek Chisora!
Who did it better?
This is a call out to Artem the Fanny, Fairy Pad, Lobov.
Where is it?
Artem is a waffler, na 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 na, hey, na 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 na, hey. Artem is a waffler, na 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 na, hey, na 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 na.
Unbelievable. Regardless, the UK people know how to harmonize or keep a beat. Man, Conor McGregor. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. He is lost. He has sunk to a new low. The fact that he is being sued by his former best mate, somebody who had his back, somebody that helped him achieve that level of status and accomplishments and success, that is now suing him for a pinch in the pan. I don't even know if that's a saying, but now it is. A pinch in the pan. He's suing him for $30 million. Conor McGregor's proper 12 whiskey is worth about $600 million. I mean, like 95% more. But Conor's not happy. He wants the whole lot, and he's willing to fight Artem. And, yeah, like I said last week, Artem's not showing up to fight. He's going to win the suit. I'm sure Artem is not a dumb guy. Conor's not a dumb guy. And anybody who associates them with John Kavanaugh, Coach Owen Roddy, they're not dumb people. So I'm sure Artem has some ammo before he's going to war with the all and powerful Conor McGregor. No doubt about it. Maybe there's some voicemails. Maybe there's some recorded stuff. Maybe there's some emails and texts that Connor is not fully aware of or is underestimating the usefulness of said text or emails that could be used against him. I think Artem will win this. I feel like Artem is just a lot clear-headed, has a lot less on his plate, and is extremely focused at this one goal, which is just getting a drip in the pan, which is $30 million, which he feels is his and well-earned. Conor McGregor being sued by his best friends for defamation and for the $30 million is not a good look. I heard this quote a couple months ago, maybe a year ago at this point. It's not worth winning and getting to the top if you screwed over people along the way. And again, I might be chopping this quote up, but if you screwed over people along the way and you get to the top, then you will have nobody to celebrate with. And that's what it feels like with Conor McGregor. He may be the richest fighter on the planet, but he also may be the loneliest fighter on the planet. So that is sad. And that's exactly the trajectory that Conor continues to be on post-Floyd Mayweather fight, where he became Money McGregor. And the whiskey deal started, and he just, I don't know, he's a shell of himself right now, not just as a fighter, but as a person. Again, if you can watch the Notorious documentary, let me know if you have. Let me know your thoughts about that, please, because not many people have, and that should be released everywhere. Put it on YouTube at this point. That's a good light. That's a good showing for Conor McGregor. That is the opposite of defamation. That is character building. That's a very good documentary, and it puts McGregor in a very good light. So go check that out, because I'm a huge fan of McGregor. I've said over and over and over, for what he's done for the sport, very appreciative of it. He got the sport to ESPN, got the sport sold. The sport's much bigger because of him. People try to follow and copy Conor McGregor, but they cannot. People try to replicate his style of press conferences, but they cannot. Conor McGregor is a once-in-a-generation talent as well as showman, and that cannot be underestimated and disrespected in any regard. But what has happened post-UFC 205, Mayweather, Khabib, slide in there a cowboy fight and a foit, and a little bit of a sober McGregor. There's a lot of mess going on with the suings, slapping somebody's phone out of him, out of somebody's hands in Florida, getting in trouble with that. Punching a DJ in Italy. Hey, what did he punch him for? Like, he's like, let me fucking DJ. And the guy's like, no, I'm the DJ. And an Italian and Irishman walk into a club. And if you also look at Conor McGregor punched the old man, that was probably the worst of it all. I think because the guy had Jameson. That's the rumor, that the guy had Jameson in his hand and McGregor offered him proper 12 whiskey, and the guy said, no, I'm good. And I think Jameson gave that guy either a lifetime supply of Jameson, or they promoted him. Jameson also flew Max Holloway to Dublin for a free trip and gave him a tour of the country. So it's funny. Jameson is Jameson may be Conor McGregor's biggest opponent, not Artem Lobov or lawyers at this point. Oh, my gosh. A fight that is going to happen. Not Artem and Conor late night at a gym. But Paddy Pimblett accepts Jake Paul's $1 million challenge to show up for a sparring session. And God bless Paddy, because that's the right decision. It's just a sparring session. Who cares if they make a freaking Netflix miniseries out of this? It's just a sparring session. Jake offered him $1 million if he shows up and wins. And if he loses, he has to join his United Fighters Association. I think the UFA, if I remember. And Jake needs to make me remember. It's not my job to remember these three-letter acronym that he just throws out there to Anderson Silva or Paddy Pimblett or the public at press conferences or on his Instagram. Make it a real thing. Let's see you in a suit. Let's see you in a court. Let's see you in front of some type of board to get some approval for a fighters union. Say it. Show it. Don't just say it. But Paddy Pimblett is backing up his word about the sparring session. I can't wait to see that. And obviously, I will give you guys my breakdown of that. Let me give you guys first, though, my recap of UFC Orlando. Steven Wonderboy Thompson, the evergreen Wonderboy Thompson. I think he just turned 40, so he is now the Wonder Man against Kevin Chevy Trailblazer, Kevin Holland. He needs to get in a Trailblazer. That just makes a ton of sense. That fight was an incredible, four rounds of just beautiful wizardry from Wonderboy Thompson. Vintage Thompson, as some people who smoke the devil's lettuce will say. Steven Wonderboy Thompson looked phenomenal with the spinning wheel kicks, liver kick. Kevin Holland broke his hand. So Kevin Holland came out firing. He actually tagged and made Wonderboy Thompson fuzzy after a couple heavy right hands. And Steven Wonderboy Thompson, from that moment, blazed forward and proved that he was the better man that night with more elite striking. His coaches, Kevin Holland's coaches, they said stop basically doing the tango with this guy. Wonderboy Thompson wants the tango, and Kevin Holland was obliging. They were saying this is a mixed martial arts fight, insinuating that they should take Steven Wonderboy Thompson down. But Kevin Holland, as we know, is a showman and a man of the people, and he wanted to stand and bang with Wonderboy Thompson, and that was his last mistake in the fight. Steven Wonderboy Thompson gets the TKO via corner stoppage. Wonderful, wonderful fight, wonderful card. The main card had a ton of stoppages. RDA bounces back against Brian Barberina. The man, Barberina is the man. RDA is also the man. Matthias Nicolai defeats Matt Schnell in a really, really cool strategy. And RDA got the submission via rear naked neck crank. But for the Nicolai versus Schnell fight, man, oh man, at flyweight, Nicolai he lured Schnell into a trap that made Schnell impatient, and Schnell kept committing, and Nicolai kept catching him with counters. I think it was about three counters that he dropped Schnell with, and he ultimately finished him in a, crossbody seatbelt grip, and just pounded him out with punches to get Keith Peterson to jump in there. So amazing performance from the number six flyweight. You probably will see him move up in that division. Really cool celebration. He's got a samurai on his back, and he does a samurai celebration. Matt Schnell, nobody should disrespect him. He had an amazing fight in July, UFC Long Island, probably the comeback of the year, where he was just absolutely beaten and battered early on in the fight, and then was able to turn it around and get a triangle finish. So if Snell got hurt and was finished, Nicolai is an absolute killer and well-deserved. Sadly, Tai Suivasa was beaten by Pavlovich, a guy who's probably never even wore shoes in his life, via TKO. Sergey Pavlovich looked absolutely dominant. Another big, freaking heavy-handed Russian in the heavyweight division. I think he might be a Team Fedor guy, not exactly sure, but looked absolutely dominant against Tai Tuivasa, who, again, maybe he was drinking the same Kool-Aid out of the shoe that I was. Seemed like he was waiting for some magic to happen, some rabbit to jump out of there and poke Sergey in the eyes, but there was no rabbit in the hat. And, Tai just, he went down on his shield, so tough fight for him. You'd love to see him bounce back. He is a fan favorite, no freaking doubt. One of the craziest fights for me was Jack Rabbit, to stay with the rabbit theme, Jack Rabbit Hermanson, or Jack the Joker Hermanson. Beautiful strategy against Georgia's, not Atlanta, Georgia, the Republic, Georgia, the country, Roman Dolidze, Jack Hermanson with a beautiful strategy. He is always frantic movement, jabs, low kicks, fake shooting takedowns, snatching up a single, bringing his opponent down. Great grappler, great overall game, great gas tank. Not the strongest of fighter middleweights, but just an absolute great game plan early on. And then he got tangled up with Roman Dolidze, and that was the downfall, because who would have seen that, where Jack Hermanson has top position on the ground and Roman Dolidze is on the bottom, playing around for knee reap, throwing up arm bars, throwing up triangles, and then ultimately turns the knee reap into a calf cruncher and throws up. Google calf cruncher if you have no idea. And then from the bottom and back position, wraps up his hands for gable grip for back position against Hermanson, and then just ultimately lays on top of Hermanson, pressing so much. Again, it's called a calf cruncher, calf slicer. And just Roman Dolidze with a brutal submission attempt. But Hermanson hung on. But that was not the end, because Roman then freed his arms and was on top, free reign to do everything. Hermanson was in agony before the punches came, but as soon as Dolidze dropped the punches, it was good night, Irene. So great job by Georgia's Dolidze, and he moves up the UFC's middleweight division. Look for him to be in the top 10 of the division starting tomorrow. Another middleweight who looked phenomenal, got it done in very different fashion. Eric Anders looked dominant against Kyle Daukaus. Kyle Daukaus was coming off a surgery, I believe it was with his orbitals, about 6 months ago. Maybe that was a little too soon. Maybe should have waited 3 months, 12 months. But in hindsight, you know, can't question it. The fighter felt good. He took a camp. He trained hard. He looked good early on. Looked like he could figure out Anders, but Anders has the heart of a lion and looked phenomenal over and over and over. Was cracking Daukaus with an overhand right and an overhand left and a left down the middle over and over. I just burped up some of my Sicilian slice I just had. It was my son's birthday, so I am still digesting. Shout outs to Emilio's of Comac. Very delicious Sicilian. Everything square is amazing in that place. Again, Emilio's of Comac. Love you guys. The main card also started off with Philip Rowe versus Nico Price. That fight was crazy. Nico Price with the nonstop psycho pace, the American psycho pace that he put on. Phil Rowe was weathering the storm. Got caught early in the third round, looked like the tide was turning, that Nico Price could potentially get Rowe out of there. But Rowe weathered the storm, stayed in there, landed huge, long rights, beautiful, crisp lefts, and took Price out of, knocked him out of there. The main card, TKO, submission, knockout, knockout, TKO, TKO, TKO. One of the best main cards of the year for the UFC, and another absolute killer combat sports weekend. So UFC Orlando, Tyson Fury versus Chisora. Obviously the storylines around that, McGregor, Artem, the UFC's betting scandal, Patty and Jake, obviously. But the fights were phenomenal, first and foremost. I think we all tune in for the fights, the sprinkling on the cake. Again, it was my son's birthday, so I got cake and pizza in my mind. Might go have another cupcake. But the core of why we tune in is for the fights, and the fights were phenomenal. So thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of The Iketagon. At Iketagon everywhere. Iketagon. Get involved in the show. Leave a voicemail. Let me know. Yeah, this is going to be really cool. We could talk this, or we could talk this. We could talk this. We could always talk this. We could talk more of this. There's some of this. We could do that. Leave a voicemail. Let me know. 646- 720-980-9848. I'm your boy, Ike. I love you guys. Train hard. Love your family. Love your friends. Love your animals. Peace.